Romans chapter 8, just for a few minutes this morning so we can have our meeting and discuss these things that we need to discuss. Romans chapter 8, very familiar passage of Scripture, and yet actually there's no passage of Scripture in God that's so familiar that we can never learn anything new from it. That's the blessings of God's eternal Word. As you grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God's Word begins to take even more and more life upon it, and those passages of Scripture that you've come to know or seem to know and be acquainted with take on a new and different light in regards to where we're at in our pilgrimage through this barren world and our relationship with Christ. And I spoke to a brother yesterday and I made the comment. I said, it's amazing how, sounds like a paradox, but it's amazing how discouraged a believer can become and still have hope. The depth of discouragement that God can bring you down and yet still have hope in Christ. It's amazing how grace sustains the believer even in the most darkest of trials. And I praise God for His effectual working of grace in the heart of every child of God. And it's just amazing to see and understand in a personal experience or a personal way, truly that God's grace or all-sufficient grace is made more evident to us, more manifested to us when we're weak. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So we thank the Lord for that. But in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, very familiar passage of Scripture. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We know. I read that verse this last week and I asked myself, God, how much do I know that? I can read it and I've seen it come true in my own life, but in my present situation in life, can I still say I know that all things work together for good? And yet, beloved, there is something so simplistic about this wonderful text. Just reading it, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Very simplistic that it can even comfort the youngest believer and yet at the same time so profound that it often overwhelms the oldest of saints. Simplistic. All things work together for good. Well, the young believer just raises an excitement. That's good to know. I'm glad God promises that. And yet it's so profound that it often overwhelms the older saint who's suffering under trials and afflictions. God, I know that all things work together for good, and I want to be reassured of that. So, and beloved, it's so with all Scripture, isn't it? For there is contained in each divine truth found in God's Word an element of simplicity which requires a childlike faith to receive it. Our Lord said, come unto me as unto a child. And yet there is also an element in every divine truth of mystery which makes every truth seems to be profound. That's the wonders about God's Word. Simplicity and profoundness wrapped up in one. And it depends on where we're at in our Christian life that those truths are revealed or manifested to us. That all things work together for good. Beloved, that excites the young and childlike faith in us all. All things work together for good. Yet to be assured in our hearts and our minds that all things are still working for good. While suffering under great afflictions challenges the strongest believer's faith. So you see the simplicity of it and the profoundness of God's truths. Something wonderful about God's Word that you can't put into words. It's amazing how it lives within inside of the believer. And it grows. That's what Peter meant when he said that we're saved or converted, redeemed by the incorruptible seed, the Word of God. And God plants it in our hearts and our minds and it begins to grow and take on fruition in our lives. And as we begin to grow even further, that seed that God planted that earlier seemed so simplistic now appears to be so profound. As it begins to ripen in our hearts. God, I love how God's Word ripens in our hearts and our minds. Exactly when we need it. It's as though the God, as though the Lord plants that seed and allows it to grow to a certain time, and He says, "At this time, I want it to reap. I want it to reap. I want you to reap the harvest of this truth in its fullness. But until it reaps that fruition, you need to know some things." And so it's always continually growing and growing. And then when we need it the most, we can eat of the fruits of God's Word growing in our hearts and our lives. That's the amazing thing of God's Word. I think that's why Psalm 119 speaks so much about the Word of God. "Oh, I love Thy Word. It's sweet as honey. Thou hast quickened me according to Thy Word." Over and over he talks about the blessings of God's Word once it's been imparted into the believer. And beloved, for some reason, some mystical, sovereign, divine reason, when God's Word is imparted in the believer and that gift of faith is applied to it, it begins to grow and it begins to increase, it begins to ripen, so that when the believer is in need of that fruit, it's there. For God has prepared us to reap of it. "It's good for me that I've been afflicted," said the psalmist in 119:71. "It's good for me that I've been afflicted. Why? That I might learn Thy statutes." And again, I found myself asking the same question again. "Lord, do I still think it's good to be afflicted?" The only reason the psalmist, or one of the main reasons why the psalmist said it's good that he's being afflicted, is not simply because he likes affliction. It's because he said, because of that affliction, I'm learning Thy statutes. That's why it's good for me. If I'm not learning anything, then afflictions aren't going to be good for me. I'm not going to see the benefit of them. I'm not going to reap from them. I'm not going to be able to gather from them the good that I need of what Romans 8:28 talks, unless I can understand and see that I'm learning God's statutes through this. And the learning of which the psalmist speaks is not in regards to merely a mental, intellectual understanding. "Oh, I'm learning Thy Word, I can quote it." No, but a learning of God's statutes in such a way that he comes to truly know and experience the power and effectual working of those same truths in and upon his life when he's in need of it. "I'm learning Thy statutes." Well, what does he mean? "I'm learning that all things work together for good. And I'm learning that under a manifold temptations. I'm suffering sore under afflictions, and yet those afflictions are learning or teaching me the value, the power, the effectual working of Thy truths. And therefore, it is good for me that I've been afflicted, because those things are drawing me closer to You, drawing me to a greater realization of the all-sufficient power of Your grace and Your mercy. And therefore, it's good for me." But it'll never be good for us unless we are learning God's statutes and learning them in a way that draws our hearts and our lives closer to Christ. You know, I was talking to a brother yesterday, and I said, sometimes I find myself, especially last week, asking the Lord. I said, "Lord, every time I get around the corner and I see trouble, I keep saying, well, around the next corner, it's got to be better. And I get around that corner and it's just as dark and dim. And I say, well, Lord, the next corner's got to, there's something good around the next corner. And I keep convincing myself that something around the corner is going to be good. And it appears as though for a season that every time I turn a corner, nothing good appears. God just continues to do that. And oh, how that drains us as all self-confidence that we have in ourselves, or takes away any thought of any ability we might think we have. And it finds us rushing and running to the Word of God, saying, God, I trust in Thee. Do we really know what that means? I trust in Thee, God, that You will provide and take care of me. Learning God's statutes, learning the power of God's Word through afflictions, then I can say it's good for me. Just like Paul says in Romans 8, then we can say we know all things work together for good. And like what Martin Luther said, and I wrote it in my Bible exactly on that verse there in Psalms 119:71, he said, "I never knew the meaning of God's Word until I came into afflictions." Could this be what the Apostle Paul meant in 2 Corinthians chapter 4? Maybe just a portion of it? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 17, when he declared that our light affliction, which is but for a moment, again the word worketh for us, a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Sounds like we have that divine thought throughout Scripture, don't we? These things are working constantly for us, teaching us things that the carnal eye would never see, our minds would never grasp, without the gift of faith and the engrafted Word of God in our hearts. Something wonderful about that. Faith and the engrafted Word of God in the heart of the believer, and God working effectually through the Spirit of God, bringing those things to life. Beloved, that's a wonderful life we have as believers. And where else can we look upon those things which are not seen better than upon the pages of God's eternal Word? Paul says, as we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. Where else does the believer look to see the wonderful things not seen by carnal eye, but upon the pages of God's eternal Word? And so, again, we say it's good that I've been afflicted, that I might learn Thy statutes. I might come to be acquainted with them and know the power of them. Every true believer doesn't wish to simply know them in an intellectual manner. He wants to know the power of them. He wants to feel the comfort God's Word gives him, even though his every carnal sense in his body is crying panic and discouragement and doubt. He wants to feel that peace of God in his heart and mind which passes all understanding, because the Word of God is settled in his heart and working effectually by faith and through the Holy Spirit. That, dearly beloved, is what the believer longs to know. He's not always crying to be delivered from afflictions, but to be saved in them. Psalm 43:3 says, O send out thy light and thy truth, let them lead me. Send out thy light and thy truth, let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacle. It's almost as though he says, without divine light and divine truth, we can't be led to that holy hill and that divine tabernacle of God. Blessed Word of God. Where would we be in this pilgrimage without the blessed Word of God? Where would we be without the promises that God gives us in His Word? What hope would we have? Discouragement is too strong. Despair is too mighty without the power of God's Word in our hearts, mixed by faith, enlivened by the Spirit of God. And we know that all things work together. All things work together for good. It is as though the Apostle Paul declares that it takes the working together of all things if they're going to be good. He said that again. He says, and we know that all things work together. It's almost as though he says the working together of all things are necessary if they're going to be good. In other words, you can't just have good things happen to you. You've got to have bad things happen to you. Otherwise, they will never work for your good. It's almost as though God sets one against the other in order for each to draw from the other. The good draws from the bad and the bad from the good, and together they work something good. Alone and separated, there wouldn't be any profit. It's amazing how God works, isn't it? Totally contrary to carnal human understanding. It says an experienced chemist, when he takes those things that are of themselves poisonous, yet when mixed together with the proper ingredients, they become healing medicines. Too much of one or too less of the other one turns it into poison. It's got to have the right amount. Ask any pharmacist, any chemist. You've got to have the right amount. Alone, this would be poisonous, would kill you. Yet if I mix it with this, And they're perfect. Not too much of this, not too less of this, but the ingredients are perfect. That thing becomes healing potion. But it's got to have the right ingredient. Not anybody can be a chemist. I'd hate to have somebody ask me to run the pharmacy in Walmart because I have absolutely no idea how to mix medicine. But somebody who has learned it and has been taught it and is educated and knows exactly the mixture it takes, don't we all trust them? We go to the pharmacy and the doctor says, you need to go here to get this drug to help you. Without question, we just take it home and take it. We don't really think anymore about it, do we? And what did it take the pharmacist or the chemist to mix those chemicals together so that that drug might be profitable to us? So too God would mix or temper good and bad together, thus making a divine ointment which works for our good. And that's what Paul means. You can't have one without the other one. Too much good is not good for us. If God just gave us good, you know what we'd do? We'd be so puffed up, we'd be no good to ourselves or God. If God just constantly blesses us, we'd be spoiled, rotten children, disobedient and rebellious. But God says, no, I'll give you good and I'll give you bad and I'll mix them together. And you say, but Lord, sometimes it seems like the bad just keeps coming. Well, maybe He just needs a little bit more of that so that He can part the good and make the mixture right. You ever realized how good the goodness of God appears after you've been through a long term of bad things? It sweetens it, don't it? You're going to, oh God, you're good. Whew. I know, again, the psalmist, 119:75. Again, I know, O Lord, that Thy judgments are right. Everything you do, your judgments, your discernments, your actions, what you do are right, and that Thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. In faithfulness. Not only in regards to His covenant relationship with His own. That's faithfulness. But faithfulness to God's perfecting, conforming, and transforming of the believer into the image of His own dear Son. In faithfulness to me, because You promised to perfect that which concerneth me. In faithfulness, You have afflicted me to finish the work You started. Being confident of this very thing, that He that which hath begun, another word, a good work. We know that all things worketh together. It seems like it's work, isn't it? Throughout Scripture, God's saying, I'm working constantly in you. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That good work in you is made effectual by His working all things together. I'm going to finish that good work, and I'm going to finish that good work by working all things together in you. We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. God has never deserted a vessel He began working on. He's never cast it away. He's never put it on the shelf and said, you know what, there's just no sense working with you. I just can't do a thing with you. He's never been so dissatisfied and disgruntled that He's taken the vessel He's chosen to work in and cast it aside, because He's sovereign and He can and will do what He promises to do. I don't know about you, but that's good for me, especially when I see how rebellious and stubborn my heart is sometimes and how much I'm not always willing to follow the way God chooses for my life. And yet God is sovereign and He will perform it in spite of myself. Get some closing thoughts on Romans 8. Notice what it is that turns this often bitter pill sweet. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Isn't that what often turns that bitter pill sweet? God, you know I love you. To them that love God. It's amazing. He doesn't say He doesn't speak about God's love to us, but our love to God. He said, to them that love God. Remember Peter's bitter pill? Our Lord asked him, lovest thou me? Do you love me? He's playing on Peter's assurance of loving Christ. He wasn't trying to say, Peter, I love you, so you need to grasp that and get a hold of it. My love for you will hold. No, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. It's amazing how God does that. It's our love for Him that He speaks of. Do you love me? Yes, God. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you more than these. That takes the bitterness out of these pills, out of these trials and afflictions. That takes the bitterness out of the cross that sometimes grows heavy. Because we love God. This is what assures our hearts that all things work together for good. I know it's going to work together for good. Why? Because I love God. We would think, well, wouldn't assurance come better if it was because we knew God loved us? No, the Bible says no. The assurance comes from you knowing you love God. You ever been there? At the end of your rope, so to say. Great afflictions, you don't know where to turn. You don't know what to do. And you just kind of break down and you say, but God, you know I love you. I love you more than I could ever say. You know I love you, God. And I just simply wish to serve you to them that love God. Even when the workings of those things become very bitter and difficult to take. Let me close with this Psalm 77. If you'll turn with me there, Psalm 77. I really admire the psalmist here. Psalm 77. He echoes the thoughts and sentiments of many tried and afflicted believers. Psalm 77, beginning in verse 1. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and He gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. Ever been there? My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah, Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart and my spirit made diligent search. He's looked everywhere. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will He be favorable no more? Is His mercy clean gone forever? Doth His promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? You see, He's reached that point of discouragement that He's tried everything and He still can't find comfort. Now watch how faith struggles in His heart. Hath He in anger shut up His tender mercy, Selah? And I said, this is my infirmity. It's a sin to think that way. That's not my God. That's reason speaking to me, not faith. My flesh speaking to me, not the Spirit. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. I will meditate also of all Thy work and talk of Thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. That's why church is so important. Who is so great a God as our God? Boy, He seems like He went down from the depths of despair all the way up to that tabernacle that the light and truth of God leads Him. But He didn't get there without a struggling through His flesh first. So believe it, when you find yourself struggling with despair and discomfort and even disbelief, even the greatest of saints have had to struggle through that same warfare. It's a warfare. And yet He struggled and fought. Verse 14 and 15 in close. Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared Thy strength among Thy people. Thou hast with Thine arm redeemed Thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. Man, what a battle he went through. Our greatest enemy is not the world, the devil, or anything outside. Our greatest enemy lies within. And for God to bring us to a point to say, and I know that all things work together for good, God must often reveal to us that all things we think to be good aren't good, and bring us to the end of ourselves in affliction so that we might learn the statutes of God, so that we too might say, it is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn Thy statutes. that I might know that all things work together for the good, that I know that I might be assured and persuaded that what you began in me, Lord, you're going to finish until the day of Jesus Christ. The psalmist came to a great assurance, but only after he struggled and fought the good fight of faith. To them that love God, that's what makes this bitter pill sweet. Who are the called according to His purpose? God, there's a reason for all of that. I'm called, and it's according to Your purpose, whatever it might be. What a wonderful blessing. I'm telling you, beloved, nothing comforts the believer than the blessed Word of God. It was Spurgeon who once said, and this isn't word for word, but he said, one word out of God's Word can comfort a believer more than 10,000 words of a mortal man. God's Word is blessed. I pray that we can, with the psalmist, with Paul, be able to say, we know that all things work together for good. That you have to have both. They, bad and good, must work together if it's going to be good and profitable. So that we too might say, it is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn Thy statutes. Amen. May God bless the reading of His Word to our hearts this day. Let's pray. Our Father, again, we thank You for Thy most precious Word. Lord, how it comforts us like no other thing in this world. And Lord, how we do pray that, Lord, as we said in the beginning, that God, You would engraft it into our hearts. May, Lord God, faith feed upon it. May the Spirit of God water it and nourish it, that it might grow. Lord, we see it on Thy pages in black and white, and yet, Lord, we want to see it and know it engraved in our hearts. You promised that You'd put Your law within our hearts. Oh, God, I pray, may we know something of the power of Thy Word and its effectual working in our hearts and minds, conforming and transforming us more and more into the image of our beloved Lord and Savior. Oh, dear God, I pray, strengthen us, we pray. Help us as we seek to glorify You in these latter days. Use us as a testimony in this community. God, I pray that You would be honored and glorified and bring many souls unto Yourself. Lord, use us in Your service. We ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen.